on to chapter 2, and we're here until when? Okay. I'm having trouble seeing that because of the reflection, so don't tell me to stop if you need to. That's a little slow, by the way, too, so it looks like I have about 7 minutes. The first, this is a chapter mostly about chemistry, which is important because that's what happens inside cells, the focus of this course. But in this opening slide, we have a representation of a chemical reaction. In any given chemical reaction, you have some number of reactants, which are substances on the left side of the reaction equation, which is what the arrow is like the equal sign. Doesn't have to be two as it is in this example. There's some number of reactants, which are substances with their own properties, which by rearranging the particles they're made out of, get transformed into some number of new substances called products. Doesn't have to be just one like it is in this, that have their own properties that are different from the properties of the reactants. So this is done without any adding new material or subtracting any material. It's just rearranging the particles that all materials are made out of. Atoms. But this is a pretty stark example of how drastically different the product can be from the reactant. Sodium metal, as you see here, is dangerous stuff. It is very highly reactive metal. So highly reactive that if you touch it with your bare skin, the water in your skin is going to make it explode pretty much. So sodium by itself will kill you. That's why the guy's wearing gloves. Chlorine gas by itself, poisonous, also very highly reactive. It will react with just about everything your body is made out of and kill you. But if you get the two together, they rearrange their atoms in such a way that it makes a compound called sodium chloride that we know as table salt. It's just one of many salts. And sodium chloride, even though it started out as these two killers, will not only not kill you, but sodium chloride is absolutely required for your body. You can't live without it. So that's a pretty fundamental change, considering you're not adding or subtracting any material. You're just simply rearranging how the atoms are associated with each other. That's what chemistry is all about, though. Or that's what chemical reactions are all about. We see another chemical reaction in slide 2. The same reaction shown two different ways. In cartoon form, which shows you the different atoms, and on the bottom with chemical formulae for the reactants and products. So H2 is hydrogen, O2 is oxygen, H2O is water. But notice on the ball and stick models that there is no gain or loss of material, right? You start out with two oxygen atoms, you end up with two oxygen atoms. You start out with four hydrogen atoms, you end up with four hydrogen atoms, but they're arranged differently, and you have totally different stuff, water, from what you started with, hydrogen and oxygen. Slide 3. We have some elements listed here, but first, before we get to the table, let's just discuss what it is to be an element. What is an element? Elements are substances, but there's plenty, most substances are not elements. What's special about an element? Depends on what you mean. Let me rephrase it. An element is a substance that's made out of only one kind of atom. As we'll talk more about, there are different kinds of atoms in the world. But if you have a bunch of them and they're all the same kind of atom, then you have an element. For instance, oxygen gas is made out of nothing but oxygen atoms. Whereas water is made of hydrogen and oxygen atoms. So it's not an element. It's a compound. It's been compounded by adding two elements together. And the elements are what we have listed in the periodic table of the elements, which is my main reason why I'm glad we're in this room now, because this is a much better periodic table. When it comes to... There's not all that many naturally occurring elements, only about 100. The ones on the bottom are not naturally occurring. We created them in the laboratory and they only last a tiny fraction of a second, but they're real elements. Roughly 100, though, that occur in nature, in the universe. And organisms are not made out of all of them. They're made out of the lighter ones, the smallest ones, which, since this is orderly arrangement, are near the top. The top of the periodic table are the smaller atoms. The ones that are bigger are at the bottom. But there's only about 100 atoms to work with, and there's no limit to the number of substances because there's really no limit to how you can rearrange these 100 kinds of building blocks to make more complex compounds. Well, in the human body, but not just the human body, just about any organism, you are, as far as atoms are concerned, you're made out of mostly these four: oxygen, hydrogen, carbon, and nitrogen. And we'll be talking a lot more about the four categories of biological macromolecules, which are simply big molecules compared to run-of-the-mill molecules. All organisms are made out of four kinds of biological macromolecules. And all four of those biological macromolecules contain oxygen, carbon, and hydrogen. Two of them, in addition to those, also contain nitrogen. And so just those four make up the bulk of any given organism. But there are also, for various reasons, other elements that need to be. It's just that you don't need nearly as much of those. And in fact, having too much of them can cause problems, especially the ones that are listed as trace elements. Required, but only small amounts. And then there are plenty of ones toward the bottom of the periodic table that you do not want in your body at all because it'll kill you. So I better stop there.